You're listening to an African Elements top news story for September 8, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. Why California banned electric restraint gloves? In the final hours of the 2026 legislative session, California lawmakers passed landmark civil rights legislation. The state approved Assembly Bill 2760 to ban wearable electroshock devices across law enforcement and corrections. Lawmakers also passed Assembly Bill 2230 and Senate Bill 423 to restrict federal immigration operations inside public spaces. These companion bills bar aggressive immigration sweeps inside sensitive community sites. Headlines portrayed these rapid votes as a sudden reaction against federal authorities. However, the measures reflect decades of community organizing and civil rights litigation. The laws address the rapid spread of experimental weapons in prisons and jails. They also safeguard municipal spaces from warrantless surveillance and detentions. The legislation connects carceral technology directly to the historical defense of human dignity. Wearable electroshock hardware has an ugly history in American courtrooms and penal institutions. During the 1990s, correctional facilities adopted remote-activated stun belts. The devices were marketed as non-lethal compliance tools. Authorities routinely fastened these 50,000-volt belts to the waists of criminal defendants. Officials insisted the equipment would only deter courtroom violence and escape attempts. The weapons soon became instruments of judicial punishment and racial intimidation. In 1998, a municipal judge in Long Beach ordered a bailiff to shock Ronnie Hawkins. Hawkins was an African-American man defending himself during a trial. The judge activated the 8-second shock simply because Hawkins interrupted her. The resulting lawsuit, Hawkins v. Comparet Kasani, ruled that such shocks violated constitutional protections. In 2002, the California Supreme Court placed severe restrictions on stun belts. Yet law enforcement manufacturers continued to develop similar pain devices. Modern weapons manufacturers transformed electroshock tech into wearable tactical gear. A manufacturer known as Compliant Technologies introduced the GLOVE device. The acronym stands for Generated Low Output Voltage Emitter. Unlike dart-firing tasers, this weapon requires no projectile lines or darts. Officers simply touch or grab an individual to deliver an electrical charge. Proponents claim the equipment uses low voltage to ensure physical safety. The devices pulse between 200 and 400 volts. However, civil rights advocates note this design conceals electroshock pain with an ordinary physical contact. The application of force leaves few visible marks for observers. It effectively bypasses the visual detection of bystander cameras. This shift mirrors the historical shift toward mass incarceration and aggressive policing. Wearable shock devices pose severe physiological hazards for vulnerable people. Lawmakers raised grave alarms over electrical charges applied directly to human skin. Direct electrical currents can disrupt regular heart rhythms. Shocks can trigger ventricular fibrillation or sudden cardiac arrest. The threat multiplies when an individual experiences extreme physical exhaustion or panic. These hazards fall heavily on Black detainees and communities of color. Systemic medical bias leaves African Americans with disproportionate rates of untreated hypertension. Disparities in cardiovascular health make electrical discharges especially perilous. Furthermore, carceral medical staff often delay treatment during custodial emergencies. Introducing concealed shock tools into neglectful jail environments risks preventable fatalities. California lawmakers decided that such unmonitored force was too dangerous to tolerate. The battle escalated when federal agencies moved to acquire the equipment at scale. In August 2026, the Department of Homeland Security published a major procurement request. Immigration and Customs Enforcement arranged a contract with Compliant Technologies. The federal contract carried an initial value of $16 million. The agreement allowed spending up to $20 million for 6,000 pairs of shock gloves. Federal officials claimed deportation officers needed the devices to handle combative individuals. Yet immigrant advocates saw the purchase as an escalation of coercive force. The federal government sought to distribute these shock weapons across field offices nationwide. The procurement bypassed independent health evaluations and transparent public oversight. Sacramento lawmakers viewed the contract as an urgent warning sign. State leaders moved rapidly to insulate California facilities from this experimental technology. The federal deployment of electroshock gloves creates distinct dangers for Black immigrants. Research by advocacy organizations highlights severe systemic bias inside detention facilities. Black migrants comprise roughly 6% of all people in civil immigration detention. Yet they filed 28% of all formal abuse complaints. They also account for over half of all life-threatening abuse reports. In addition, guards send Black detainees to solitary confinement at 6 times the average rate. Black asylum seekers frequently report excessive physical force and punitive chokeholds. Arming federal officers with conductive shock gloves puts another weapon into this punitive system. These realities reflect the ongoing pursuit of racial justice across institutional settings. The lack of demographic tracking shields abusive officers from outside scrutiny. California advocates insisted that the state must refuse complicity in these operations. Resistance to the proposed ban emerged from an unexpected source. Sacramento County Sheriff Jim Cooper strongly opposed the legislation. Cooper is the first African American sheriff in the history of the county. He previously served 8 years as a moderate Democratic lawmaker in the state assembly. Cooper held a public demonstration to defend the electroshock gloves. Cooper announced his department had already purchased 10 pairs of gloves and 10 bands. The county spent $35,000 on this tactical hardware. Cooper argued the equipment allows deputies to subdue violent individuals with less blunt force trauma. He maintained that electric contact avoids the broken bones caused by batons and fists. He criticized state lawmakers for passing what he characterized as a performative ban. Nevertheless, civil rights organizations rejected the argument that shock compliance ensures safety. Assemblymember Dr. Lachey Sharp Collins authored Assembly Bill 2760 to stop the weapon proliferation. Sharp Collins represents San Diego and serves as an assistant majority leader. She brought extensive experience from her former service with the San Diego NAACP. Sharp Collins stated that vulnerable communities must not serve as testing grounds for electroshock weapons. Members of the California Legislative Black Caucus quickly joined her effort as principal co-authors. The legislative clock added immense pressure to the effort. Lawmakers faced a strict constitutional deadline of midnight on August 31. Sharp Collins utilized the gut and amend parliamentary maneuver to advance the proposal. She emptied an existing bill and inserted the electroshock ban language. Lawmakers approved the legislation along partisan lines before the session adjourned. The bill prohibits state and local agencies from buying or using wearable shock gear. It also requires an independent study by the State Department of Justice. Lawmakers also passed broader protections for immigrant communities across the state. Assembly Bill 2230 prevents immigration agents from staging sweeps in municipal facilities without warrants. The policy covers administrative offices, municipal libraries, and public community centers. In Santa Clara, Council Policy 056 already blocked federal agents from using city garages as detainee checkpoints. California continues to expand legal walls between public spaces and civil immigration operations. Lawmakers addressed private detention oversight through Senate Bill 423. Authored by Senator Lena Gonzalez, the law opens emergency call records to the public. Private facilities must now disclose 911 audio recordings and emergency dispatches. The mandate followed serious medical neglect and deaths at facilities like the Otay Mesa Detention Center. The policy ensures that privately operated immigrant prisons face genuine community accountability. The legislature made sure private detention facilities cannot hide in custody crises from the public. The passage of these measures sets up an unavoidable constitutional struggle. Under the Supremacy Clause, federal statutes override conflicting state regulations. The Department of Homeland Security declared that federal agents will not obey the state ban. Federal officials argue that states cannot regulate the equipment choices of national officers. State courts acknowledge that Sacramento cannot directly control federal field agents. However, the 10th Amendment gives California sovereign control over its own police powers. The state can strictly forbid local police from touching or deploying shock gloves. Sacramento can also bar municipal funds and property from assisting federal operations. This legal boundary reflects the enduring struggle over federalism that shapes civil rights protections. The legal wall protects local resources from federal commandeering. California continues to test the constitutional boundaries of local protection and community safety. The campaign against electroshock restraints highlights a continuous historical struggle. From 19th century involuntary servitude to modern detention cells, carceral systems continually refine tools of bodily subjugation. Remote shock belts and wearable gloves emerged under the label of officer safety. Yet both technologies function to compel physical submission through sheer electrical agony. The racial patterns in their deployment reveal a persistent disregard for marginalized lives. California established a decisive boundary by banning electroshock gloves in custodial environments. Lawmakers asserted that public facilities must remain safe spaces rather than staging grounds for raids. The legislative victory in Sacramento demonstrates how public policy can push back against coercive devices. While federal challenges loom, the state demonstrated that mechanical innovations cannot bypass human rights. The struggle to defend human dignity within carceral walls continues into a new era. Copyright, African Elements.